This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We got a fan club Friday coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today. Set off for our weekend, we'll have Jeremy Danner from Four Hands Brewing. I believe he might be celebrating a work anniversary as well. So, congrats to him.
Do you celebrate your work anniversaries? I do not.
Celebrate? No. We've mentioned, like, when we just had our, like, we've done the show for 5 years. I think we made a comment in January, maybe on air. We said, hey, it's 5 years of the show, whatever. But, like, celebration? I think for in our line of work, you got to be at 10 plus before you can, like, as a show.
Before you can do a
true, like, show bash or something.
I think you could do one at 5.
Well, we didn't, so we got to wait till 10.
I think you could. Well, 6 is no good.
No, you can't. So
6, 7, 8, 9 are no good. I think you could have done one at 5, but yes, we decided we
did.
We did not.
But so Danner's going to stop by in the 1 o'clock hour today. You guys can watch the show on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, X. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll get a open championship leaderboard update at some point this hour from our golf correspondent, Drew Nixon. We also will, at some point, I'm sure, get into what Dusty was discussing at the end of his show, which is Drew Nixon, once again, look, confidence is an amazing thing, and it's something it's that important. We should all strive to have. There's also something called overconfidence, and that exists, and Drew is still holding a bat over his shoulder after giving everybody a bunting clinic in the bullpen about him getting a hit off of Paul Skeens. So we'll get to that.
The only chance that I have.
I mean, at some point.
I've still got the bat, boys.
Right, Kramer took a video of his swing, too. You can get a video of his swing.
You're going to break 100 at Augusta. You're going to get a hit off of Paul Skeens. I mean, you're going to beat Steph Curry one-on-one, I'm sure, is next. And you know what? You do you. You do you. 913-586-7965. We'll talk about Drew's confidence to get a hit off of Skeens at some point today, which I was dying out there. I was absolutely dying out there.
As he was doing a whole clinic.
Giving a very serious talk to you guys.
Yeah, he was, which it's fine. He was just talking about his preferred bunting style and that apparently he'd been doing it in Little League for a long time, you know?
You're 29.
I like bunting. Not the type of bunting. I don't care for the Cody's bunting.
Yeah, Cody likes the bunting all around the stadium. Yeah.
Different kind of bunting.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
At that kind of bunting, I'm pro. I'm anti-bunting in every other scenario. Mm-hmm. The thing that was one of the things that's like the smallest thing ever that like for me, I'm like, hey, I need a little bit of an explanation on is. So when we were in Little League and Drew's like, oh, you know, hit leadoff or whatever. Like when I was in Little League and all that stuff, nobody bunted. We did it in practice for fun.
Even when, like anybody but was on second to
advance. Dude, when I was 13 years old, every decent hitter, we all hit like 600. Why the hell would we bunt? Everybody got hits all the time. Like it was like, and if you put the ball in play, there was like a 30% chance of an error anyway. The hell are we bunting for? Nobody did. I don't remember at that age, but maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm misidentifying it. We'll have to have Kramer send out the... We'll have to have him break down his swing.
We'll get the video out there. Someone also texting and saying, boys, left the headphones at home. You guys are being played out loud at work. Keep it PG for work. We'll do our best. No promises. We'll do our best. Look, we will stay within the FCC confines and restraints, of course. But
not great this week, so we'll try to do better today.
Yeah, but other than that, we'll be good. You know, we'll be good. We will also talk about Coldplay couple. Don't worry. Again, I'll update on that in about 20 minutes or so. But the second half, really a post-All-Star break, whatever you want to call it, of the season begins tonight in Miami as the Royals take on the Miami Marlins. We talked yesterday about the schedule, the ease of schedule, at least, out of the gates, and an opportunity to beat up, hopefully, on some of these below 500 teams. And what's it look like if, I'm not saying you have to believe it, but if they were to turn it around, what does that look like for the Royals? They were to turn around and we're sitting here the final week of the season and they are occupying a playoff spot. What does that look like? I think for starters, it's very simple. The same thing we've discussed throughout the whole year. It has to continue to see Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny hit the way they did the last 10 to 14 games overall. I understand not the entire Mets series, but overall. And then truly, I don't see how they get there because I don't think they're trading for two bats unless Jack Caglione gets it going. Doesn't have to be carrying the offense, but not hitting 151. If you tell me for the final, 100 games or so that he's hitting let's call it 240, but the power's there too, that has to be part of the equation. I think if you're going to convince me that we're sitting here the final week of the season and they're actually occupying a playoff spot.
So just for starters, their offense could be significantly better if Jack Caglione is just anywhere close to what we were anticipating out of Jack Caglione when he got called up. That immediately improves the offense. There's no question about it. Let's pretend they add another bat. So now we're two spots deeper in the order than they were before. This kind of goes back to the Chiefs wide receivers at a different time. I've watched this team with Gurriel and Tommy Pham and all the names we joked about when they brought back Adam Frazier in the lineup being a playoff team. Now they had a head start. Their record was better and a good pitching staff. Like, this year's team is not built dramatically different than last year's team. And I can continue to give the one-off examples, which I know are less fun, of, I think it was correctly pointed out by our friend David Lesky, and it signed the crown, where the record very similar to in 14 when Ned Yost was almost canned and they eventually went on a run and went to the World Series and all this other stuff. I can give you a couple of examples of when it happened in baseball, but the only way they're getting to the playoffs is if Jack Caglione truly, I think, comes alive, not just turns in the other version, and for no real reason other than just it happens, they become last year's version of hitting with runners in scoring position versus this year's. That's it. Like, if they can just, and they don't trade anybody, in my opinion. Like, I don't even think at this point, if they want to make the playoffs, they can afford to lose Lugo. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but you tell me who the fourth and fifth starters are if they let one go. If they want to make the playoffs, I think it'd have to be keep Lugo and start trying to convince him into getting an extension done and how to log his stuff back out. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense and we can't make it fit. So we'll see which way it goes. Like, it's just that version of it makes it a big challenge, Gold. So if those things aren't going to take place, then I do think you kind of run into an issue where how do you make this work if all of those don't happen? So if you just ask me how they do it, probably starts there. Also, I don't know, beat a bunch of bad teams. Start going 3-0 against the Marlins this weekend. Their former ace is on the mound tonight in Sandy Alcantara, but yeah, he's got like an 8 earned run average.
He's just not the same as what he was a couple years ago. Do you think, though, if during the stretch, we're talking about on the offensive end what has to happen, but if they end up trading Seth Lugo, is what we described enough, though, on the offensive end to not only overcome that, but then also, you know, fix what has already been a problem for this team? That's where it gets really, really tricky, and why I understand it's a 10% chance for a reason, because even if the big three keep it up like they had the last 10 to 14 games and Jack gets to a point where he's got some pop, he's hitting 240 the rest of the way or something like that. And in 240, I know some of you are like, that's not good, but I'll take 240 by the way, right now with some pop. Without Lugo in the rotation and Reagan's not back till mid August, is that even enough then? And I don't necessarily think it is.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's a little bit, right? The bullpen is still better than last year's, right? So you think they'd be able to cover a little bit there, starting rotation similar to last year's because guys like Noah Cameron are performing similar to what Cole Reagans did last year. Like, I'm not saying that there's not enough talent to go on a run. I think there is. It's just banking on it is such a long shot hope because it's not asking Gold just one thing to get better. It's asking the starting pitching to remain the same, the bullpen to remain the same, Jack Caglione to come alive, and for them to add a bat and hit better with runners in scoring position. I need five things to go well, and they still have to play, what, 10, 12 games above 500? The final 60 games? It's just asking, it's asking the world a little bit. So unless they get hot and hot in a hurry, it is kind of hard to imagine a world in which this is going to happen overnight. And look, I'm still holding out hope because I want the Royals to go to the playoffs. I prefer when the Royals are good, like the rest of us. But it is like the Royals get to the playoffs if the list is kind of long. That's all. It's just
a lot
kind of
has
long.
To happen. A lot has to happen. And some of them are more likely than others. I think, you know, the big three hitting really well the rest of the way, I think, is actually the most likely scenario, believe it or not. The least likely right now would honestly be that they go and acquire a bat that also helps. And at this point, that for the way what we've seen so far, that Jack Caglione is hitting, you know, 240 the rest of the way and all of a sudden finishes the year. He's got two homers right now, but if you tell me he ends up finishing with 10 or something, 12, you know, 12, like those seem not all that likely. That doesn't mean big picture in next season, we're talking about a completely different player. But for what we've seen right this second, to think that post All-Star break, the big three are going to click. He's going to get going. They'll be fine without Lugo if they trade him. And all there's a bunch of things I just don't see. I told you over and over, I think they're going to be a team that's not out of it quick, if that makes sense. Like I think they're going to be hovering in this conversation land of, well, they're like four out. They're like two out. Now they're back to four out. And we're going to be having that conversation all August into September.
Yeah. I mean, but if it's, so right now it's July 18th. If it's August 18th and they're still four and a half back and six teams are ahead of them, it's like, well, then, you know.
But that's where I kind of think they're going to be,
Cody. You can still kind of discuss it now because there's time. They do still have time on their side. And I'll give them an advantage there because you're like, do they? Yeah. They still have 60-plus games remaining on the schedule. As far as baseball goes, that's time. And plenty of time in order to turn it around. But that time dissipates after 30 more days worth of games, and you've only got 6 weeks left to make a run. And there are, they do have one of the easier schedules remaining for the rest of the way, it's not they have no difficult opponents. Hell, after they get done with the Marlins this weekend, they got to go take on the Cubs, the team with the second best record in the National League. They're not going to be able to sputter against those teams for long and still have kind of the wiggle room to do it. Hitting with runners in scoring position would make a massive difference. Again, I think it was Inside the Crown who did it, but like the fact that they're averaging a similar number to hits per game, which is a bit misleading because they're hitting for less power, but similar number to hits per game, but they are third last year with runners in scoring position and 29th this year. That tells a big story on the offense, Gold. Had the big three simply just hit better with runners in scoring position, they probably are better. But, you know, they didn't, and now they're going to have to do that the rest of the way with no breaks.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk with Jake Eisenberg. He is in Miami calling some Royals baseball throughout the weekend. You'll hear him on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals pick it back up after the All-Star break. By the way, four home runs for Jack Caglione. Point remains the same either way, whether it's two or four, the same thing for him. All right, let's get back into the Chiefs. We know yesterday the breaking news throughout much of our show yesterday was Rashee Rice, the legal case being settled, moving forward. Now it's all about what's the suspension going to look like? When does it get laid down by the NFL? Is it two games, four games, six games? Nobody really knows. Everybody's guessing. But that was the conversation yesterday. We talked also about, hey, do they have enough internal options to cover that? Do they need to go outside the organization? You and I both think they do not need to go outside the organization. But part of that also is the belief that perhaps somebody like Xavier Worthy is also ready to take another leap forward after having a very strong rookie season, being a guy that they had to rely on far more than they ever thought they were. We also saw, garbage time or not, in the Super Bowl, he obviously was very impressive with some of the numbers he put up. What are the odds that they get Xavier Worthy towards the back half of last season right away? Like right away, we can get to the over unders for what the books are saying. They think he's going to have
high. I thought,
and it's gone up since yesterday, of course, because of the news. But the final eight games last year, Xavier Worthy had 50 catches, 65 targets, 572, and 5 touchdowns.
So 6 catches per game, and 1,200-yard season at a full 17-game schedule, and 10 to 12 touchdowns? So he was one of the top 25 wide receivers in football, roughly, for the final 8 games? Look, one of those is boosted. Because, again, it's not final regular season games.
Yeah.
One of those is boosted by garbage time Super Bowl. So I'm going to take that with a little bit of grain of salt and understand that that's a portion of it. But the other ones were playoff games that mattered that they won. So that also factors into the rest of this. I think maybe we were overthinking it. When we first got the Rashee Rice news and we're like, well, maybe Juju picks up a little bit. Maybe this. It should just be worthy. If he could handle number one wide receiver duties last year, and he obviously could, by the way, a 50 catch to 65 target rate is an incredible ratio for a wide receiver. Typically, those guys, those target monster guys, might get a 60% catch to target ratio, 70% catch to target ratio based on where they were. If he can perform at that level, why don't I think it could be that? Like, just throw him more and more until Rashee Rice comes back, knowing that it'd be like, I always feel like Devontae Smith. There's no reason why he can't be the one for a few weeks.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the Rice absence that would change. Like, however you thought about Worthy heading into the season, I don't know if it changes either way. Like, they're different receivers. Like, Worthy's not running the Rashee Rice routes now. They're not. I mean, the Jalen Royals and Juju Smith-Schuster are the only other receivers that can kind of replicate at all what Rashee Rice is as a receiver. Now, if you're just saying they're going to take more deep shots down the field and all that, if you just think that's what the whole season, then yeah, we should feel the numbers are going to be there, whether Rice is on the field or not. To me, it's we saw multiple opportunities the first month and a half of the season last year down the field. Worthy was open. Mahomes missed him / Worthy didn't know where the heck he was on the field. And he was stepping out of bounds. If that kind of stuff gets corrected, and it definitely looked like in the Super Bowl, obviously it was, then the numbers that are out there at the books for Worthy could be achievable. Before the Rice news, the over-under was 825.5 yards for the season for Worthy. Now that we know Rice is getting suspended, we don't know how many games, now it's up at FanDuel right now, 900.5 yards. It's a lot. That's a big number. That'd
where's,
be a hell of
where's
a
Hollywood Brown at if that's where his numbers are? And we can look it up in a minute, but yeah. Like
probably 575.
900.5 will tell you that at least the Vegas sportsbooks think there ain't nobody taking these snaps from Rashee Rice except Xavier Worthy, and they're just going to lean on. The same question applies, though. When you watched it, this is an eye test question, so it's a little bit tougher to answer. When you watched Xavier Worthy last year, towards the late half of the season, did he come off as a guy who was just going to get catches no matter what? Tyreek Hill, whatever. Because, again, when he came into the league, they talked to him as like straight line speed, fast guy, deep ball, not run every route, not have every route in the route tree guy, because he was catching like a guy who could do it all, right? That second 8 games, or those final 8 games of the season, he was doing that like, I'm a do-everything guy. So, like, the question is, do we think that that's actually who he's going to turn into, or is he more like some of the receivers we talk about, where you target him 5 times a game, when they catch 3, it's good for 80 yards, and that's how he's getting his numbers.
Yeah, I mean, just if Hollywood Brown is healthy, and it's Hollywood Brown and Worthy on the field at the same time, and it's 4 games without Rice, I'm talking about targets going to be crazy for Worthy. I think we're forgetting that even if you don't think Hollywood Brown's going to have more than 600 yards on the season, but if now you have a receiver in Brown that's available for more than he was last year, let's hope, if he's a 575 or 600, Worthy, the targets, I'm just trying to figure out how we think the targets are getting divvied up. I'm just saying, I think Hollywood Brown would eat into some of what you're saying Worthy could do. Now, unless you think Xavier Worthy is going to be just a downfield threat machine all year, he's going to end up with like 9 touchdowns this year because they're going to connect on 3 or 4 50-plus yard touchdowns, and we're going to see the big play offense come back. If you think that's happening this year, one, that'd be amazing. If you do, well, then the 900 yards is not crazy at all.
What's crazy is the 8.5 targets a game, which he was getting the final 8 games, that would have led the NFL.
Yeah, that's not sustainable, in my opinion.
Or no, it wouldn't have led the NFL. But it would have been top 15 in the NFL.
That's not sustainable even if Rice is out for 4 games. Like, if Hollywood Brown is on the field at the same time as Worthy, I don't think you're averaging 8 targets a game.
But how do they sustain it during that time?
Because there was no Brown or Rice.
But, like,
There was no Brown or Rice. But they
won a lot during the time. Why couldn't they just do it that way?
In the playoffs, Hollywood was there.
Yeah, but he didn't. It was a lost season, as far as I'm concerned, for Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood was there, but I don't think he was like the same Hollywood. They have done it that way. You're saying that's not a good way to go about it, which I don't necessarily disagree. But when you start going through it, he had 98 targets last year. That's a pretty good, that's a pretty high number
for a player
just in general.
From week 11 on last year, outside of the Denver game last one of the season because he didn't play, the least amount of targets he had was 6.
Yeah, but Hollywood Brown also, so Rice was already.
The least amount of receptions he had was 4.
For sure, but the reason why I think it's a little bit different is Rashee Rice, we all know, was gone at that point. And Hollywood Brown hadn't even come back during some of these games we're talking about. What's it look like when Brown and Worthy, this is a good problem to have, by the way, when Brown and Worthy and Kelsey on the field at the same time. And then at some point, we know Rice is not getting suspended the whole year. So at some point when Rice is also on the field, what do you think the pass attempts are going to be for Mahomes in 2025? I mean, at some point you can't have 8 targets for Worthy, 6 for Brown, 8 for Rice, 4 for Kelsey. Like, at some point, the math doesn't add up.
The other problem with
if we're talking 35 attempts a game, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets that number.
The other problem that comes with this is the idea that when it comes to, this goes back to the deep passing game. So last year, when they started throwing to him more, starting in that Cleveland game in week 14, where he had 9 targets for 3 of the final 4 weeks, and they didn't play him. Then he had 6, 7, and 8 in the playoff run. So, like, slowly increased, had a lot more targets, way more than he did in the early part of the season, for the most part. It was finishing with 6 for 46, 7 for 65, 8 for 79. So those target numbers are inflated by the lack of deep passing game this team had. I want him to have fewer targets and more downfield. I don't need to dink and dunk with Xavier Worthy the entire time. I would much prefer that is not how their offense looks. Now, I still don't know. They might do a conservative version of their offense in those first few weeks while they're without Rashee Rice, but I don't think it's crazy to just say, let's lean on Rashee Rice or let's lean on Xavier Worthy more while Rashee Rice is out.
So if you were to say, would you say this is crazy? If Worthy had 8, Rice had 9, Kelsey had 6, Hollywood had 5, Juju had 2, and the running backs had 5. In terms of target share.
I don't know. Is that 35?
That's 35.
Without looking at the numbers, yeah. I'm going to guess that's... do you remember, what was Rashee Rice getting in those first few? That's really the number. Well, before he got hurt cold, how many targets per game was he getting? Because it felt like 50. It probably wasn't, but it sure as hell felt like that for a while. Mm-hmm. It felt like for 4 games, he had 80 targets a game. Here, I'll look it up right now. Because now, before we finish up the conversation, I am kind of curious. His first start were 9, 6, 14.
14 is insane.
So he averaged 9.
But 9 at 103, 6 for 75. This is the difference between, anytime we talk, Worthy was getting the number of Rashee Rice targets there for a while. But the production was significantly worse.
Also, so the numbers, the question about, hey, what's the yardage look like also depends on the deep passes. During the first 13 weeks of the season, Worthy, his deep target rate was 24% with 11-point yard average depth of target. That was it. So then all of a sudden in the back half of the season, the Chiefs started using him in the slot more. All of a sudden he's in the slot for 40% of the time over the last 7 games. I think that's notable, something to keep in mind with how we look at this, including the 4 playoff games. And at that point, though, yes, he caught at least 5 passes each game, but his average target depth dropped to 6.6 yards.
That's because the ball wasn't working. So they just weren't doing it.
They just went conservative.
Exactly.
Moved him inside.
Yeah, totally. And so that's where, if you're going to take the over 900 yards for Worthy, we can talk about the amount of targets and debate that back and forth. But it's do we believe those targets, whether it's 6 targets or 9 or whatever? Do we think that he's going to have success down the field? I mean, I guarantee you guys, next week we're going to see it in St. Joe. We're going to be up at camp. We're going to see plenty of opportunities down the field, and we're going to get all excited again. But this time, it's truly going to be, you got to show it to me first couple weeks of the season that it actually translates to the regular season. Because at training camp, yeah, Worthy and Brown, I bet you we see plenty of deep passes that are exciting, just like we did last year in camp.
So I find this interesting. So I looked up in terms of the overall, if who else is around him. DJ Moore, I looked his name up.
Around him for yardage or for what?
For yards. His over-under is 975, DJ Moore. T. Higgins, his over-under is 975. So we're getting Xavier up into that conversation of course, I know T. has got Jamar Chase, so it'd be a little bit different if he was solo. But, he's in the conversation of the DJ Moores, the T. Higgins. I don't know what Brian Thomas Jr. is. I'm sure he's probably about 11 or 1200. But we're getting up into that realm of wide receiver, if you will.
I would be very skeptical to take the over 900.5 personally. I would not be a bet that I would. I probably just wouldn't bet either way. I'd probably pass on it.
Also playing. I think
he's healthy. That's probably right at the number. Like, I don't think 900? It's a bad number, but it's so high for an over. I mean, they set Travis Kelce, a guy who had like 47,000 consecutive 1,000-yard seasons in the 800s last year. I bet it at the 750 mark at one point. And you're telling me right now Worthy just deserves to be at 900 before the season starts? That's why it seems high. I'm not even saying gold like you, that's not where the number will come in at. But I'm not going to bet it because I'm like, I got to start there? No thanks.
Xavier would have to average 53 yards a game over every game of the season to get to 901.
It's all about whether or not you believe they're going to connect on 4 or 5 plus deep passes. I'm not talking like over 25. I'm talking over like 40. Like, you get some yards after the catch. They turn out to be a couple of these 40 plus yard touchdown passes to Xavier Worthy. If you think that's coming back to this offense, then yeah, then 900 is absolutely in play.
Especially because he's going to get at least probably, we think, somewhere in the 4 to 6 game range without Rashee Rice to eat up some more targets.
All right. We were going to talk about the Coldplay couple. We'll get into that at some point, I promise you, today. We'll
guaranteed
talk more about that. It continues to be the biggest story on social media of the last 24 hours or so. But up next, let's talk some more Royals baseball. Jake Eisenberg is in Miami. I don't know if he's a Coldplay fan. We'll find
out
about
that. Maybe he's seen a bad kiss cam moment.
Maybe that. And maybe he thinks the Royals can get this thing going starting this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
What's next? We will be joined by Jake Eisenberg in just a couple minutes down in Miami. Maybe he's on South Beach right now. We'll get a hold of him.
Think he's on the beach getting some lunch?
I mean, I would. I would be just chilling on South Beach before the game's not for hours. He's got plenty of time to hang out in Miami a little bit.
But what's the current temperature? It's going to be hot.
And, well, you got an ocean there. It makes everything better. It makes everything better when you got an ocean in front of you. That's really the truth.
Current temp in Miami.
Feel bad for him. Don't feel bad for him. He's in Miami.
Oh, 87 degrees.
He was just in San Diego recently.
He was playing phone tag. That was the problem. I called him. It didn't hit. He called me. I answered, and he wasn't there. It was a mess. But he's ready now.
87, but he's got a beach in front of him. Yeah.
He's probably fine.
Jake Eisenberg joins us. Of course, you'll hear him throughout the weekend on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals start the post All-Star break series against the Marlins. The weather's great. I doesn't matter if it's 95 or 85 or 70. It's in Miami. You're feeling good, I assume.
Yeah. It's warm. It's a little humid. Right now, it's just kind of walking around. I'm sweating a little bit. And I was actually wondering if I wanted, hypothetically, if I wanted to take a selfie of myself, if I was feeling pretty good about myself, is there the right angle to do that at?
Yeah, low angle.
The right kind of car that I should do
that
with. Yeah,
Drew? Drew, want to take this one?
To get the right angle, because I could use some help with that.
Drew, you want to help him out?
Do you have your shirt on, Jake, I guess is the question.
Yeah, I mean, my shirt's on because I'm generally more of a, dare we say, conservative when it comes to my appearance. I'm not really putting stuff out there. I'm not trying to thirst trap Instagram or anything like that. I'm married, so it's not I'm looking for a date or anything like that. So I'm kind of keeping that to myself, you know?
I would say if you can find a good window that has a good reflection enough where you can get enough where, if you're sweating, it's not visible, then you're good. Because I have the same issues.
Drop those shorts down low, though, make sure people can see that.
Drew definitely
that didn't happen.
Drew definitely had the shorts a little lower too, Jake, in that photo.
It did not happen.
Oh, okay. So I got to show off the V-line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Show off the biceps, roll the sleeves up a little bit to flex a little bit, Jake, Yeah, show off the muscle.
No, see, but I'm gonna need those SpongeBob inflatable arms if I want to do anything like that, Otherwise, I'm not going to get into the salty spittoon,
Yeah. I don't want to tell you also what you missed earlier today in a pre-show meeting, and there's a photo out there as well. Of Drew basically doing a bunting clinic for everybody. He's convinced he could get a bunt off of Paul Skeens if you gave him 100 tries. We said, you're out of your damn mind.
I mean, I'd like to see it.
I'd pay to see it. I think we could fill up Kauffman Stadium for that exhibition.
Honestly, here's what I think. I think you give him 100 tries. I think maybe he makes contact, once by sheer dumb luck. But I also think that he probably stands outside the batter's box after watching one pitch go by.
Yeah, I'm convinced he's breaking fingers.
And you know what? I would probably do the same thing. I'm not getting close to that, even though I know Skeens can dot it up. I mean, I'm very happy with where I sit and watch the game from, and I will leave it to the professionals to lay down a bunt against a 100-mile-an-hour splinker or whatever.
Last non-baseball. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I do. I have one more question for Drew about the picture from yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Oh no.
Because I was listening, and I really enjoyed it. You guys had him in a blender. It was great. The one thing I kept coming back to is, Drew, was that your car or was that just a random car in the parking lot where you were?
That was my car. That would have been doing way too much if that would have been somebody else's car.
Yeah, that's the line, Jake.
It was mine.
In all fairness, I think you were doing quite a bit to begin with. So I don't think that taking that with somebody else's car is that much more of a step,
Can you imagine if they would have come out if they'd been in the area? Yeah, I made sure that it was that's a very fair question. I made sure that it was my car that I took the picture of the window.
It would have made it worse if it was somebody else's car. But there's no doubt you were already doing too much in that photo. The car was not the thing that set it off. Last non-baseball question, Jake. Have you ever seen a bad kiss cam situation?
Yeah. You know how many minor league baseball games I've witnessed in my entire life? And heck, major league games too? Yeah. I don't want to be a hater. I'm a little out on the kiss cam.
Wow.
It's not
so is a couple of CEOs now.
Well, yeah. It's not my favorite thing. I don't love the forced nature of it. It's just not for me. I not my favorite thing. And look, you can understand why, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. I'm just checking. We asked the question to start the show, so we'll ask you some baseball-related stuff.
Yeah,
if
please,
the Royals
please.
Make a run to the postseason, what do you think happens to facilitate that, or needs to happen in order to facilitate that?
I think one of the biggest X factors for the second half is going to be Cole Reagans coming back healthy. and pitching like we saw Cole Reagans pitch last year. There's no reason to believe that he won't do that. But I think this is a team that makes a run, you know, at a wild card spot, heck, at the division. The Tigers certainly did last year, and they were in a similar spot. But I think Cole Reagans coming back healthy is a really big part of that, because you put Cole back into that rotation, there's your ace. You pair him with Seth Lugo and Chris Bubich and Michael Wacha and what Noah Cameron's done. I mean, that there should be way more Rookie of the Year buzz when it comes to Noah Cameron. But I think Cole Reagans is a big X factor that somehow I feel like we've forgotten about a little bit, because the pitching has still been so good even without him. I mean, how many teams lose their ace for an extended period of time during a season and still find themselves, you know, in punching distance of where they're trying to get to? Not only that, I mean, you had two guys that finished top five in the Cy Young last year in Reagans and Lugo, and they just both spent time on the injured list this season. That is a really tough punch for a rotation to take and still be delivering the way that they are. So I think Cole Reagans' return is one of the biggest X factors.
Internally. Sure. And when you look at the next couple weeks externally, of course, there's the trade deadline and everything, but because Reagans is hurt, because now Lorenzen's on the IL, do you think that, along with how the team maybe performs over the next 10 games, do you think that could swing how the organization maybe even operates around the deadline?
Sure. I mean, I think that the blanket answer and kind of the cop-out answer is that any number of variables is going to determine what the organization does over the next 2 weeks. I think that if the Royals are making a push and want to win a playoff series and are contending for a postseason spot, you know, look, the elephant in the room is Seth Lugo. Sure. Seth Lugo is a part of the Royals making a playoff push and winning a playoff series. You're telling me, like, how many teams going into October would want to see Reagans, Lugo, Bubich lined up against them in a three-game series? I certainly wouldn't. Like, that's as good of a triumvirate at the top of rotation as I think you're going to find in baseball right now. So I think Seth Lugo is a big part of what's made this Royals team successful. I mean, heck, this dude's got the lowest ERA in Royals history of any starter that's made at least 50 starts with the team. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about, quite literally, the best pitcher in franchise history, minimum 50 starts. That's no small thing, right? So, like, I think Seth Lugo is a big part of this. And I think what's interesting leading up to the deadline, look, we're slightly less than 2 weeks away until the deadline. There are 12 games between now and the trade deadline, which happens to fall on an off day for the Royals. I think one thing that's really interesting about it, and this doesn't necessarily dictate anything one way or another, but it's the fact that the Royals, of the 12 games they have, 9 of them are against National League teams. So there's not really a great route to directly make up ground in the wild card race, or heck, even in the division. The only 3 games against American League teams are against Cleveland, who right now you're tied with. So what's interesting is a lot of what determines the Royals' actual standing is, yes, the Royals have to win games and you know, make sure they take care of what's in front of them. But what happens around them is also going to be just as interesting to keep an eye on, where other teams may fade or, you know, take a big step forward. I think that's a really interesting subplot of this that, frankly, the Royals don't really control, other than obviously what they do themselves.
When you mentioned Seth Lugo, is there any possibility? I get asked this every once in a while. We talk about the opt-out. Makes all the sense in the world financial. We understand. But is there a world in which we think Seth Lugo likes being here enough that he would entertain taking a number for the buyout with an extension that just keeps him here?
I don't know about the, like, specifics of how it would work, but I think that Seth enjoys being a part of the Royals and enjoys being in Kansas City enough that it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could opt out and then re-sign a different contract, whether it's an extension, you know, that's built into this one, or a completely new deal, something like that. I think that's a very reasonable scenario to consider. And I think you also kind of take a look at where the Royals find themselves, you know, in terms of, you know, what the payroll looks like for 2026, you know, going forward. You know, Salvi's got a club option for next year, so his salary decreases a little bit. You've got some money coming off the books from free agents and from some buyouts. There's a little bit more flexibility, I think, than meets the eye. I haven't dug into it too much, but the point is the Royals have proven themselves to be relative players in the free agent market over the last couple of years, not just Seth Lugo, but also Michael Wacha, Carlos Estevez, and Michael Lorenzen. And, you know, these are not necessarily the biggest, flashiest signings, but, I mean, we do know that the Royals offered Anthony Santander a relatively sizable contract this past offseason. He wound up going with the Blue Jays, but it's not as if the Royals said, no thanks. The Royals were involved there in a way that I think they would certainly be engaged with Seth Lugo, too, if he were to decline his option and then become a free agent. And I would think that there's enough trust there, enough success that's been built there over time. That's not a foregone conclusion to think that if Seth opts out, that he's automatically with one of the other 29 teams. I don't think that's a fair assumption.
We're talking to Jake Eisenberg here on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals begin a series tonight in Miami against the Marlins. I didn't think I would even be asking you a question about this trade, because when it first happened, I thought it was just kind of, okay, kind of move on. Not a trade we're going to talk about, but we were surprised the reaction to Cam Devaney getting traded to the Pirates organization for Adam Frazier, who we all know was with this organization a year ago. I don't think it really changes a whole lot, but also I felt like people were acting like Cam Devaney was some top prospect that the Royals moved on from.
Yeah, and look, I really like Cam, and he's had a great, you know, couple of years in AAA, and who knows what he's going to turn into, and I think that's what we get caught up in sometimes, is the what if, especially when, you know, it's happening during All-Star Week and you're watching Brent Rooker and Ryan O'Hearn take the field as American League All-Stars, and you're thinking, oh, those guys were what ifs, and now look at them now. And then on the flip side, there are certainly other guys that the Royals have moved on from that haven't become all-stars. So there's both sides of that coin. I think one of the things that's interesting about this trade, I look at this trade from a couple of different angles. First is the Adam Frazier angle and what he actually does bring to the team. Look, there are trades that are going to raise the ceiling of your team, and there are trades that are going to raise the floor of your team. And I think this is a trade that raises the floor of the Royals and gives you a pretty solid veteran left-handed at bat off the bench, especially with Michael Massey still on the injured list. And we saw what Frazier both was capable of and was not capable of last season. And I think it's worth reminding everybody that, I mean, Adam Frazier had a couple of the biggest swings of the Royals season last year. You know, a two-run go-ahead home run against the Angels to turn what was going to be a loss into a win. That did happen to come against Carlos Estevez, and the two of them certainly remember that. there was his go-ahead. It was a pinch-hit go-ahead two-run single in D.C. last year to help the Royals get a sweep of the Nationals while they're making a playoff push and trying to clinch that spot. I mean, the Royals don't win that game without Adam Frazier. Look, when you make the playoffs by one game, each one of those wins counts, and those are two swings that basically took two possible losses and turned them into wins. So the Royals aren't in the playoffs last year without Adam Frazier. Of course, it's not just Adam Frazier, and that is a small part of what was a very large team success, but I think that we're kind of missing the forest for the trees a little bit with Frazier. And if I dug into some numbers last night just because I was curious. And you look at his overall season numbers and you're like, okay, you look at his numbers over the last 30-ish games or so, he's batting over 300 his last 30 games. And he's been even better with runners on base, which is an area that we know this Royals offense has struggled in. He's been great with runners on base all season. He's been great with runners in scoring position all season long. And I think one of the undersold aspects is how much this clubhouse loved having Adam Frazier as a part of it last year, not just from a vibes perspective, but from a veteran presence. Like, that is not something that we always count as strongly as maybe we should, especially for a team that has playoff aspirations. I thought this was a really good trade. You know, you have a guy in Cam Devaney who is now going to get an opportunity to play in the Pirates organization, where he's kind of blocked at his natural position, both by Bobby Witt Jr. and by Mikel Garcia, two 25-year-old all-stars. It's not as if Cam Devaney was going to carve out a ton of playing time on the left side of the infield over the foreseeable future. And the truth is, when you look at the 40-man roster, you know, the Royals have Michael Lorenzen on the injured list, and so there is an open rotation spot right now. Don't know exactly how the Royals are going to, you know, take a look at that, you know, when we get to Chicago and that spot comes open, but they may have to make a 40-man roster move. And if they did, It's not too far-fetched to think that Cam Devaney might have been the one that was, you know, 40 out of 40 and wound up getting designated for assignment, and who knows what team picks him up at that point. And, well, then you don't really get anything, right? So I think this is a trade that made sense for both the Pirates and for the Royals. It helps raise the floor of the team. I think there are some intangibles that Adam Frazier brings to the table that we don't always notice, but there are certainly some big swings that he had last year. And I think that this is a floor-raising trade, and when you look at a comprehensive trade deadline, there are ceiling-raising trades, there are floor-raising trades. I think both are important, and this is a floor-raising trade that I think is a good one.
Last quick one, Jake, the All-Star game, the swing-off, we all really liked it in the All-Star game format. I think I'd be pro it being in a regular season game if it was after 10 or 11 innings. Do you think that that's crazy?
I don't think that's crazy. I mean, look, well, what do we see in hockey, you know, after a couple of overtimes? Doesn't it go to like 3-on-3 or something?
Yeah.
I can't say that I follow hockey as closely as, say, you know, Denny or Stu, but, you know, if hockey goes to basically a completely different game after two overtimes. Yeah, there's no reason to think that at some point baseball might say, you know what, after 12 innings, let's do a swing-off. I don't know exactly how I feel about that. I haven't thought about it too much. I mean, how many games are tied after 12 innings to begin with? You know, that was kind of the thing that we were talking about, you know, when we were talking about the place runner to begin with, how many of these games
it's already
are going
a gimmick in the game. Why not just make it the swing-off's way more fun?
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to declare an opinion one way or another because I haven't thought about it too much, but I tell you what, I loved the swing off in the All-Star game. I thought it was awesome. Now, it just as easily could have been a dud. We could have seen one home run from those six guys, you know, but then again, those are All-Stars and, you know, the chances of that happening are pretty slim. The one thing that I think would be interesting is, like, would it be the same guys doing a swing off every time, you know, you got past 12, like, if the Royals are tied after 12 innings, is it automatically, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez, and Vinny Pasquantino as the three guys in the swing-off? Does it change a little bit? Does it have to do with who's still in the game? Can you, you know, pinch hit with somebody? Like, obviously, those are more intricate rules that we don't really need to be thinking about right now. But I think it's interesting. I think it's fun. I don't think it's particularly harmful if you were to, say, do it after 12 or even after 13 or 14 innings. Personally, I don't have a problem with the place runner. I saw it when it was introduced in the minors in 2018, and it was immediately something that everybody really loved in the minors. And I understand why there are people that don't like it in the big leagues, but I think it's fine. I personally don't have a problem with it. It's a really interesting thought, and I'd be curious to know what the discourse is and how people think about it. And it would not shock me if, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever, there's discussions of making that a thing, of taking, you know, post 12 inning ties into a swing off of some kind.
Jake, before we let you go, there's a lot of sounds in the background. People are wondering, they're guessing where you're at. People are saying, is he in Chicago? It doesn't sound like Miami. People are wondering if you were at a dog shelter. It's for like a minute and a half ago, it sounded like dogs were crying in the background. Where are you?
I thought it was a car.
Well, I'll tell you what. Look, I'm not throwing any shade, but the people who think I'm in Chicago right now are a few days ahead of where we actually are. I am definitely in Miami, Florida. No, I'm standing kind of right around the corner from our hotel. I was just walking around kind of by the water and feeling the breeze. So there's a little bit of wind noise. I think there was a couple dogs that walked by. There's some construction, but I assure you that I am physically in Miami, Florida. The humidity alone, I think, convinces me of that.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Have a great time. Have a great call throughout the weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll send you a shirtless selfie.
Yeah, please, yes! Please don't. Please don't. You sounded way too excited. Please do not do that.
I mean, how often does the Royals play-by-play voice offer you a shirtless selfie?
That's
you know?
True. Look, Miami sounds incredible. I don't care how humid it is. He said, I'm walking a block or two from the hotel. I can see the water. It's a little breezy. Oh, I mean, come on. I'm not feeling sorry for the humidity down in Miami at all. Plus, when you call the game tonight, it's a nice 70-degree AC environment.
Yeah, we've been inside that stadium.
Not for a baseball game.
That's where media night was when the Chiefs went to the Super Bowl the first time they won it with Patrick Mahomes.
That's true.
It's the only time I've been in that stadium is
Drew,
that
you
one
see,
opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you, Jake, he was paying attention. He was locked into your workout.
I guess so.
Look, man.
Yeah, I made sure that it was my car that I took the picture. I would never, never walk
could
up
imagine,
to somebody's...
What would you do if you were walking up to your own car and you saw another dude shirtless taking a selfie staring
like,
at your
me?
Car?
Excuse me?
What would your reaction be?
I don't know what it would be, but it would be something along the lines of, excuse me, can I help you? Like, what are you doing?
Drew, I'm not saying you did it on purpose, but I am telling you those shorts are low.
Yeah, I didn't do it on purpose. I did.
You got the V show.
I can see your whole hip bone.
Yeah, you got the V line.
I did not.
Do you always wear your shorts that low?
Well, when I was running, they weren't tied tight enough, so I was pulling them down a little bit as I was running to try to keep them from bouncing up and down on the waistline. And I was really
a chafing issue.
No, it was
That's why he was shirtless too. He didn't want any chafing.
No,
that's why he was shirtless.
And I think it's because my keys were in I have a zipper that holds like a key. So I had a key and it was causing my shorts to bounce a little bit. And I was trying to keep,
that's the best way I could describe it.
Sure.
Bounce is a different description altogether.
Huh. I don't know. don't know. You can see that photo up on Twitter.
Yeah, you can find it on Twitter. I did not pull my shorts a little bit lower so you could see the V line. No.
Did you go full post or story on the Instagram on that one?
That was a story.
Story.
Yeah, okay. That was a story.
Yeah.
Easy there. When you, yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine.
I did another ab little cycle last night. I did not think of posting a photo last night.
You training for a marathon? What are you thinking?
No, I'm just trying to get back in.
He says cross country shape. Are you gonna go to Rimrock Farms here pretty soon and run in a cross country race?
I'm trying to get back in the physical shape that I close to. I'm never gonna hit that shape again. I don't think. Just given I'm getting older, so it's just not gonna. I'm not gonna hit 18 again. But I'm trying to get back in the closest physical shape I was to when I ran
early
cross country.
Early 20s, Drew. Early cross country is like high school, Drew.
Yeah, like 18.
I'm not trying to get back into
18 or 19 shape.
To hell with that.
I was able to dunk a basketball at 18.
I'd take
full 10-foot rim. I could dunk a basketball at 18. I was in fantastic shape. Man. I don't know if I'll be able to be that.
Trying to decide if I believe that.
In shape again.
Trying to decide if I believe Drew could dunk a basketball.
There's no video of it, I don't think, but I believe him
in high school. Maybe he could.
He's not that crazy. I could put like a tennis ball.
I dunked a basketball.
I couldn't dunk a basketball, but I could.
I believe in high school he probably did.
I dunked a basketball one time. I used to jump and grab onto the rim because I love doing that. But actually physically dunking, I did one time. I mean, I'm 5'11". That's tough to do for 5'11" people. Anyways. It's been a lot of roasting Drew over the last.
Well, you've had some. You've done some very interesting things and said some interesting things over the last 72 hours.
You said you could hit off. You could get a bunt off of Paul Skeens, and that you could, you know, and then you take a shirtless selfie. There's a lot going on.
I think I need to defend myself. The question was, do you think you'd be able to get a hit? I did not say I thought I'd be able to get a hit necessarily, but the best shot that I have of getting a hit. Is by legitimately getting a bunt single, because if I tried to swing, I would not be able to do it. If I actually got contact, it would be a ground ball, and then that's what it would be. I would try to be strategic and bunt.
What's more likely, that you're getting a hit off of Paul Skeens or you break 100 at Augusta? These are two things you have claimed you can do.
I think breaking 100 at Augusta, no question. I think it is basically impossible for me to getting a hit off of Paul Skeens.
I think golf is the answer, but also... neither are happening.
I think people have said this in other sports, that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do.
Which is why I'm shocked.
I don't think bunting is going to make it easier for me.
Well, to me,
you're going to break a finger before you even get to the 100th shot to bunt the baseball.
If we're talking in what gives me the best chance, I think bunting does, because swinging the bat, I have no chance, and I know that.
That's good.
I'm at least self-aware enough to say that.
I would also go 0 for 100, as would Gold.
Yes.
We would go 0 for 300 combined.
I think we probably would, yes.
All right, up next, we're going to get into something that we were about to talk about, and then the breaking news about Rashee Rice happened yesterday, and that is a hot take, but not really. Drew thought it was a hot take about the Chiefs and the expectations. Plus, we have a trash of the day coming your way right here on Cody and Gold.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.